So now we will get into a little bit of the immigration crisis in the United States, because there's been more fuel added to the flames of discontent. I almost said rebellion, but it's not there. It's not quite there yet, although we have a lot of months to go before we get to the election. At the rate we're going, it might end up being that way. For reasons of foreign policy with Gaza, as things get worse over there, I've seen a lot of convoys of people fly. And I say convoys, I'm talking people in their cars driving down the street with various political slogans and stuff on their car, and they have the Palestine flag and the Ukraine flag. I've occasionally, though not as much, I've occasionally seen people with Israeli flags, but that one's more rare. So I'm not saying that there isn't necessarily more support for Israel in the United States. What I am saying is that the support for Palestine is more present. It's more visible. And perhaps that's because it's more energetic. Although we will... And not only that, but you can also see that this reflected in the votes from the Michigan primary. We just talked about how Biden, the Democrat primary, there was 100,000 uncommitted votes. That's a protest vote to Biden over what's happening in Gaza. So for as much talk that you'll see from a lot of more conservative commentators, I maintain the position, one, that we don't need to be over there, first and foremost. Two, that we don't need to be giving money to Israel, because why? Foreign aid is a treasonous concept to me. Three, I don't think that there's a consensus in the United States as to what the value of that alliance is anymore. And given that there is no consensus on that, it is inappropriate to maintain a position of alliances that require a consensus among the populace to move forward. Because you can't say that our country is committed to you and half of your country doesn't value the commitment. And it's not even just half. I mean, you're talking, the Democrats don't know if they should be supporting the Jews because it's Israel, or if they should be supporting the Palestinians because the Palestinians have a genocide being committed against them. And then the Republicans are split because you have the mainline Republicans who always want to, who've never seen a war that they didn't like, who have always simped for Israel, and simping for Israel is just normal for them. Israeli money influencing American elections is just normalized for them. They think that's perfectly fine, all right? So these are the hardcore, spank-me-harder-daddy-Israel simps that represent the Republican old school. And then there's the new school of Republicans who are sovereigntists, who are nationalists, who are saying, wait a second, Israel's not America. Israel's not the 51st state. Why are we just handing out money like candy to Israel? Why can't they defend themselves? Why does it always have to be us? Why do we have to give them $4 billion a year? Let them fight Hamas, all right? That's their job. That's their war, not ours. What are we doing over there? So on the right, there's no consensus. On the left, there's no consensus. And then when you put the whole together, there's definitely no consensus. So why are we trying to maintain an alliance at this moment in time? That we are, even if the alliance was important, we are functionally incapable of honoring that alliance. Right? Just based off the lack of any kind of consensus, because the second you go all in on an alliance, well, now you have political opposition. There is no consensus on the value of these alliances, so why are we trying to stay attached to them? If they're important, we can come back to them later on. But we do not value these alliances, and I would say that change is a good thing, because these alliances, quite frankly, don't need to exist. America doesn't... why does a country in North America need to have a say in the Middle East and Europe and Asia and Africa? We don't. None of these places matter to us. And the changes you're seeing happening are actually a return to normal for the United States. And that's what a lot of people who endorse the status quo don't quite understand. That's what a lot of people who don't like MAGA and don't like populism don't understand. This is what America returning to normal looks like. But America's been involved in everything for so long that most people alive today don't have a frame of reference for an America that is anything other than interventionist. But they're going to find out very quickly. But alas, a revolt, the possibility of wholesale revolts aside, coming back to the issue of immigration, which has topped the charts as the number one issue that voters are concerned with in the United States, a recent killing has now made the news. And it's a killing of a University of Georgia graduate, Lakin Riley. Lakin Riley was killed by an illegal immigrant from Venezuela, right? His name was Jose Ibarra. Now, the perpetrators of the killing, I said the perpetrators of the killing because I'd written that before I found out what his name was. The perpetrator of the killing was apparently caught by law enforcement twice before this incident. He was caught twice. He was caught once in New York, and then for shoplifting, and then a second time in Georgia for something regarding really bad activities with children, right? So two occasions that he should have been deported, or at the very least one, but he was let go on both occasions. So this event, this killing, that should have never happened, has happened because of a deliberate policy agenda that is influencing our law enforcement. Now, you can put blame on the law enforcement for enforcing unjust laws, but at the end of the day, you have to blame the lawmakers. Why is our life this way? And why does it have to be this way? We don't think it has to be this way, but you make it this way. This girl should never have died. But she has died. Like, we have these... Let me back up here. You have so many people who really want to go to bat for the illegal immigrant, right? You have a lot of people who really would like to go to bat for the illegal immigrant. But what they miss in the process of doing that are a lot of fundamentals. One, you see a lot of the pro-illegal immigration crowd who get hyper-emotional about this. They miss the fact that this is illegal immigration. And they think that illegal means the person. No person is illegal. No. The process by which you came into the country broke our immigration laws. And thus, that is how you are illegal immigrant. So, right off the bat, the pro-immigration side don't even recognize the concept of legal and illegal immigration into a country. So right off the bat, they're behind the curve. Secondly, they act and want to make policy as though America hasn't let in millions of illegal immigrants every year for decades now. And they want to, they don't have a frame of reference for how that could possibly impact the mood, the national mood towards accepting more people. And so in the process of advocating for more and more people, as there are already more and more people living here, they just set themselves up for failure. And by constantly trying to defend people who are not citizens, and by saying, we need to give them this, and we need to give them that, and how many times have you heard, we just got to give them the ability to work, and we have to give them this, and we have to give them health care, and we have to give them all these things that our government is never concerned about giving American citizens, so then you have a hypocrisy. How can you claim to be caring about us when you're caring more about them? How is it that we never have money for us? There's always an issue with the budget when we ask for something, but you can find millions and tens of millions and billions of dollars to accommodate people who already shouldn't be here. What about us? Is the question that gets asked. And a lot of the pro-immigration crowd, they just really don't like accepting the consequences of their policy. And so because of that, you end up in these situations that just make advocating for their policy worse. Because how are you going to advocate open borders effectively? How are you going to advocate accepting everyone in because everyone's just here for a better life? Well, that argument dies every time something like this happens where you have an illegal immigrant who should have been deported multiple times, getting away with these crimes. I mean, he bashed her skull in after raping her. Jose Ibarra raped Lakin Riley and then bashed her skull in. Like, this is going to be used against you. Like, just playing from the side of, let's say I was in favor of mass immigration into the United States. I'm not trying to have anything like this happen because it embarrasses me. I'm not trying to have anything like this happen because it hurts my cause. I want illegal immigrants, first of all, I'd want them to come legally, first of all. that's how you come to a reasonable point of view. The idea, and you saw this with the debate over that trash border bill that the Senate had to offer, back when the details were sort of leaked, but not all of the details, and you had people talking about, oh, the Republicans, they say they want border they want it to secure the border, but they have the opportunity to do it, and they're not taking it. And then we find out that the border bill was going to let in 2 million illegal immigrants a year legally, with no repercussion. Well, no, that's a terrible bill. And then you have the defenders of this saying, you have to meet us in the middle. Our policy is open borders. You're saying close the border. You have to meet us in the middle. And that's a lot of the problems with today's politics, where people try to take the middle of the road approach, which on any other occasion is a wise thing to do. They say the truth is somewhere in the middle. Well, in the case of this, open borders, but between leaving your door unlocked at night and closing the door and locking it, you're not going to take the middle of the road position and say, we're just going to leave the door cracked. No, that's it would not be sensible to do that. But that's what you have in a lot of situations in modern politics, where people just immediately dismiss the two sides and say, I'm just going to go in the middle. And then you get these really strange and nonsensical positions that aren't consistent with themselves. You want to slow down the flow of illegal immigration, but you're not willing to actually slow down the flow of illegal immigration. We're supposed to compromise with millions of illegal immigrants being let in every year, and we're supposed to compromise and say, okay, we're going to let in only a few hundred thousand illegal immigrants a year. We're only X million illegal immigrants a year. Why can't they come legally? Why can't that be the starting point? It's like we're starting from the negative and trying to compromise between the actual neutral position, which is that no immigrants coming in illegally, that's a neutral position. The positive from there is, how many are you going to let in legally? You're starting from the neutral and trying to compromise with the negative of, let's let in this many illegal immigrants. And then you're trying to find a point in the middle, and the result is that you're still a negative. That's like saying, we want to spend $10 billion and then saying, Well, no, hold on now. We only make $2 billion. And then the guy who wants to spend $2 billion, like, come on, you have to meet me in the middle. Okay, I want to spend $10 billion. You're saying we can only make $2 billion. You have to meet me in the middle. And so then they compromise on... they meet in the middle at negative $3 billion. That doesn't make any sense. And that's a problem with our modern politics, where people will try to take the middle of the road approach to a standard, normal position and an insane position that has been normalized as though it wasn't insane. Mass illegal immigration is not normal. It's not rational. It's not humane. Look no further than the human trafficking, the child trafficking, the sex trafficking, the drug trafficking, all kinds of trafficking going on at our southern border that is enabled by open borders policies. In no way is this a moderate policy, and it's time that we stop pretending that it was. There's a reason why the Republicans, and increasingly people outside of the Republicans, are saying that the starting point is zero now. It's zero. Zero illegal immigrants. If you're going to come here, you have to come legally, and it's just a point that the pro-immigration side just doesn't accept as a thing. Legal immigration. You hear all this talk about how we have to give these people a pathway to citizenship. That's the only, that's a moderate position. No. They came here illegally. There already is a pathway to citizenship, and it's called legal immigration. But every time something like this happens, where you have an illegal immigrant who is committing crimes against American citizens, who's given slaps on the wrist. I'm sure you've heard about that story of these illegal immigrants who basically jumped the police officers who were trying to arrest one of them, that they jumped them, and they beat them, and then they run. Eventually, some of them were found and caught. Now, imagine if you and your friends had tried to gang up on a police officer or two, because there were two in the video. Imagine if you and your friends pulled that stunt. Jail. Behind bars. The cartoon where they'll just be out. I say the cartoon. You know how in cartoons where you'll just see them standing behind the bars as the door slowly closes shut? That'd be you if you tried to pull this. But yet they can go jump a police officer with impunity and then walk off. And then they'll get released by the DA. Are you going to be released by the DA if you pull that? No. You're going straight to jail. You're going to the slammer, the big house, night. You're not leaving either. You assaulted an officer. But every time instances like these happen, every time illegal immigrants are treated better than American citizens, every time there's a different standard applied to people who didn't come here legally, every time there's a different standard applied to them than there is applied to American citizens, the idea that we are somehow obligated to let these people in dies one little, you know, knife wound at a time. It's a death by a thousand cuts, but it is a death, and we're getting closer and closer to the point where we have to do the post-mortem. Because illegal immigration is dying as a valid policy position in American politics. Like, the chaos of Chicago and New York, the chaos of random people who shouldn't be here just killing American citizens at random, the chaos of the drug trafficking, killing tens of thousands of Americans every year, all this chaos is now being accurately attributed to the open border. And what we're watching is the Overton window of American politics shutting the door on mass illegal immigration. The starting point from now on is zero. And this incident where this young girl lost her life, unfortunately, is just another incident that's going to push America over that edge. Now, I don't know if this incident itself is going to be the tipping point for that, but broader U.S. opinion on immigration is slowly and steadily shifting right over to where Trump is. No one's going to complain when he comes in and on day one gets back to building that wall. No one's going to complain, precisely because of instances like these. And you know what? If you were aboard the let's let all these people in, they just want a better life, you should have seen this coming. You should have said they have to come legally. You should have laid down the ground rules and then stuck by those ground rules. But we're not living in that world. We're living in this world. And with that will come a proportionate change. It's just a matter of how many more people are going to have to lose their life in instances like these before that change can happen. Because clearly our existing political class isn't going to help the situation at all. But that is immigration.